Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Spiritual Warfare for Beginners, Lessons from Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, the deliverance of deployments. Taking our community for Jesus Christ is the task of the church. In order to do so, we must declare war on the enemy, Satan. This is what spiritual warfare is about, and these are the steps of engagement. Estimate the enemy's strength with the authority of the atonement. Determine our own weapons, the power of prayer. Organize into a fighting unit, the freedom of forgiveness. And invade the enemy's territory, the deliverance of deployments, and defend our home front, the protection of priority. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 reads, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." They defeated Satan by the blood of the Lamb, their salvation, by the word of their testimony, preaching of the gospel message, and their willingness to die if necessary, their courage. We must pray for the entire community to hear the gospel message. What is the argument for taking the offensive in ministry? God loves the world, and Christ died for the sins of man, providing the way of reconciliation with God. John chapter 3 verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Apart from Jesus, there is no salvation, for he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The church is called to preach the gospel to every person. And this privilege is given to the church. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." If the church does not preach the gospel, sinners will not hear it and be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. It's important that the gospel be preached. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." As the church fulfills its mission, it finds itself at war with Satan and his forces of evil. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Make this so crystal clear. in the apostles' letter to the churches there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And there is the context of Revelation chapter 12 in verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Spiritual warfare is the normal state of affairs between the church and Satan. Luke chapter 9 verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, down to verse 18, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And then Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. The fact is, the population grows much faster than the church. It'd be nice if population signs told how many people are saved as reminders for the church. There's an interesting note that I should say it's interesting to note that the Soviet Union used to show off its weapons in an annual parade as a warning to enemies. Listen, the church is not to parade its weapons, but to use them in an invasion, to fight, to win, and to hold the new territory. We can be Marines, or we can be POWs waiting for our commander. Each church chooses. A spiritual invasion involves seven steps. Seven steps I want to share which ensure a successful campaign if we carry them out. And carry them out faithfully and properly. First, establish God's perimeter in our community. Enlist the faithful remnant. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20, again. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The problem is, most churches are glorified POW camps. So we need to establish God's perimeter in our community by enlisting the faithful remnants, and then we need to secure the perimeter against any infiltration. The enemy's primary weapons are sin, anxiety, and strongholds. Sin is an active attack, and the victim dies immediately. Anxiety is a more passive reminder of past sins. And strongholds are dormant, developing mindsets. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, down to verse 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The deadliest strongholds are disunity, apathy, and ignorance, accepting as unchangeable something contrary to God's world, like divorce or a rebellious child. Well, those are just things. That's part of life. Disunity is lethal to evangelism. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 21, that they all may be one. Apathy doesn't see how a few of us can reach so many. So why bother? Ignorance is unawareness. It's an unawareness of Satan's schemes and deceptions. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Do you know that Satan hates you? Do you know that? Do you know that Satan hates you? Do you know that he has a plan to destroy your life? Do you know that plan? Listen, if someone wants to kill me, or someone plans to kill me, I want to know who he is, what kind of weapons he has, and how he plans to do it. Do you know the scheme of Satan against our church? Against your church? We must establish a perimeter of godliness. Cleanse our lives, cleanse our homes, and cleanse our relationships. Taking down the stronghold of ignorance is the most difficult. And why is that? Because Satan attacks at the level of weakness. But he also attacks at levels of strength, because you won't be watching there. So we need to secure the perimeter. The perimeter against any filtration. And then third, we need to expand the perimeter. So we figure out what the perimeter is, we then secure it, and then we expand it. Others will join the faithful remnants. We want everyone included, but many won't join. That's okay. God keeps some out for our protection. Don't feel guilty about it. There's fear of false doctrine because of ignorance. Fear of false motives. Fear of wrong methods. Fear of the size of the task. This is God's doing to keep out the dangerous ones. Set the table. Don't run a shuttle service in and out. And then fourth, begin to infiltrate Satan's perimeter from the secure base of our church. Launch a twofold attack from the air and from the ground. The air attack is to bind the enemy. The ground attack is to free the captives. A strong defense is necessary to hold the perimeter while attacking the enemy. We're launching a direct attack on Satan's ground. He's employing guerrilla warfare to strike back. Establish prayer cells for the air attack. Beachheads. Take inventory of the captives, people, families. Pray for each unsaved person as ambassador. Proclaim the atonement to demons for eviction. Contact captives as enemy's power weakens. Develop a system for prayer requests, for answers. And let me give a warning. A crucial point in the air attack is when we pray and contact the unsaved. Satan will launch an all-out, take-no-prisoners assault. He will move into the church to apply pressure. He will concentrate on the most vulnerable to produce sin and anxiety. Strongholds will be activated. Many will quit, and many will seek peace at any cost. A POW is safe if he stays submissive. A Marine is under attack as a threat. And then fifth, begin to destroy Satan's perimeter with a ground attack after the air attack has taken its toll by pushing into the community to engage with one-to-one evangelism. When Satan is bound, we loot his camp, going house to house, freeing the captives. Visit every home and pray for each person. At this point, Satan's camp will be in much confusion. And then six, secure God's perimeter where Satan's used to be. And then seven, use the expanded perimeter to perform more infiltration to expand the perimeter again. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's patience is toward us, not toward the unbeliever. None should perish, all should come to repentance. None to perish, all to repentance. None, all, none, all, none, all. This is God's heartbeat. None, all, none, all. You think about all that, and you have a great day.